morning and welcome to Larks Naz Online. We are so glad you're joining us this morning. Just want to remind you of a few things going on at the church. Every Wednesday, we gather together at 10 a.m. for about an hour for fellowship and prayer. All are welcome, and we would love for you to join us if you can. Our next Second Helping Bible Study is the 30th of January at 6 p.m. We'll gather together at the church, have a communal meal, and then we'll dig into the Word. Now, this coming Second Helping is the culmination of a 3-Sunday sermon series that begins today called Unwrapped. And it's a sermon series that will consider spiritual gifts and the way that Paul talks about them in his first letter to the Corinthians. It's going to be a really, really interesting and helpful series. And by the time it's over, we'll provide you with some very personalized information specific to your journey as a disciple of Jesus. Every Sunday, our pre-brunch worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Please remember to wear your face mask during this time. And then following our worship service, the Larks Naz Cafe serves brunch and we watch the online service together. If you'd like to join us for brunch, be sure to give us a call at 0756-897-7311 to reserve a seat. Now, if you're local to Largs, we hope you've been able to join us for our pre-brunch worship. It is absolutely a wonderful time together as the body of Christ. Now, remember that one of the ways we're working toward keeping everyone safe is by asking folks who do come to our local events to take a lateral flow test before attending. So we welcome you to join us for any and all events here at Larks Naz, and we appreciate you taking this extra small step to keep everyone safe. Now let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of the risen Christ, be with us today and always. Be our light, be our guide and our comforter. Be our strength and our courage. Be our sanctifier. May this new year be a time of deep spiritual growth for us, a time for welcoming your graces and gifts, a time for forgiving freely and unconditionally, a time for growing in virtue and goodness. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us today and always. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. bids our sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. See all your sins on Jesus laid. The Lamb of God was slain. His soul was once an offering made for every soul in pain.
First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the written word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church family. We are so glad that you have joined us this morning, and we hope that you are being recharged and invigorated and empowered by the Holy Spirit this morning. Whether you're joining us at our Sunday brunch at the church or you're worshiping with us online, we welcome you again. And I trust you've had a good week. We certainly have. Pastor Tasha and I are preparing to take some time away, just a couple of days from this afternoon until Wednesday around lunchtime, to do some future planning, to allow space for God to speak to us and to guide and direct us. And so I'd ask that you would pray for us during what is always an exciting time of praying and dreaming and recharging our batteries for the road ahead. And on that note, you know, some time ago, I was re-watching one of our online services. I like to do that every now and then, and just kind of as a quality assurance kind of measure to make sure there are no typos in the titles or the words on the screen, and that the lighting is okay and the sound is optimal. And I was re-watching the service from Boxing Day. And as I was listening to Pastor Tasha tell us about the Wednesday prayer meeting and the need to take lateral flow tests, I was reminded of a sound that was captured on the video as she was talking. And because she was in mid-sentence, I couldn't edit the sound out without messing up what she was saying, so I just left it in. I wonder if you noticed it. It sounded like
this. One of those precautions we're asking folks.
Here it is again if you missed it.
One of those precautions.
It sounded like the chirp of a cricket, but it wasn't a cricket. It was the sound of a smoke alarm whose batteries were going dead. And right after Pastor Tasha recorded that bit of video, it chirped again. And just seconds later, there was another chirp, but that one came from the hallway. And then another, but that one came from the kitchen. And then the living room again. And then all three chirped together. And they started chirping every few seconds. I'm telling you, it sounded like midnight at the old South Carolina campground. Like Jiminy Cricket and his little cricket friends were having choir practice in our flat, and we were trying to record the service, so we couldn't have that. So I got out the ladder, and I climbed up in the living room and in the hallway and in the kitchen and took down all the smoke detectors and took the batteries out of them, and I made a mental note that I was going to have to walk all the way down to the hardware store. It's only a couple of blocks, but still going to have to walk there, and get three new batteries, because without that charged up internal power source, those smoke alarms were not going to work. And a smoke alarm without a working battery is a completely useless thing. So they have an alarm that gets your attention, so you'll change the battery. And you'll be glad to know that I'm sure that our smoke detectors are now functional because they've had their batteries changed. You know, we have so many things in our lives these days that run on batteries, and we have to keep them changed or charged so that they'll work. You know, our phones have a battery, our cars have a battery. Pastor Tasha's dad drives a Tesla, and it's got a serious battery. You know, the computer I wrote this sermon on had a battery. It still does. The mouse I use with it has a battery. My earphones I listen to my laptop and my phone with have a battery. The wireless microphones we have at church have batteries. You know, at church we recently purchased a new scale for the kitchen, and it came with a battery already installed. And this little cheapy watch that I got a couple weeks ago did too. They came with the battery already included. So right out of the box, they were ready to use, all charged up and ready to go. And I tell you, I love it when a tool or a gadget or something comes with the batteries included, because then you don't have to wait to make use of it. It doesn't require anything from you except to use it. And I've noticed that a lot more things these days come with the batteries included, and that is certainly convenient. But it has not always been the case. I remember when I was a kid, at birthdays or Christmas, anytime you were going to get some gifts to unwrap, there was always going to be one, sometimes more than one, that you would unwrap. And as you were unwrapping it, you could see that it was something you really wanted. Something super cool, like a Nintendo Game Boy or a Walkman or a $6 Million Man action figure or a remote control Batmobile or Easy Bake Oven or a Mr. Microphone. You get the picture. But as you were unwrapping it, you'd be excited and happy. And then you'd look down in the corner of the box or the packaging that it came in, and you'd see those three words that every kid hates to read. You probably know the ones: batteries not included. And your heart would sink and your joy would turn to disappointment, because you knew that you could just set this one aside, put it on a shelf until your mom and dad took you shopping to get whatever kind of batteries it needed. And it was useless until you got them. One of the things that I loved about my late big sister, Kathy, was that whenever she gave me a gift that needed batteries, some gadget or a tool or a toy, or whatever it was, I knew that after I opened that gift, I was going to get another gift from her. And it was going to be smaller and heavier because she would wrap up the batteries that I needed. So I not only got to unwrap two gifts, but I also got the power source that I needed to make the first gift work. Because a gift that doesn't work, that isn't energized, isn't activated, doesn't have the power it needs, is a pretty useless thing. So Kathy would always make sure that the batteries were included with the gift. Now, in the passage that Pastor Tasha shared with us this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about spiritual gifts. And at the end of this passage of Scripture, Paul lets the Corinthian church and us know something about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the followers of Jesus. And it's this, in verse 11, all these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Now, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts and Paul's words to the church at Corinth today and for the next two Sundays. But before we talk further about what Paul is saying to the church in the verses that precede this one, I want you to notice something about the gifts that the Spirit gives to those in the church, about spiritual gifts. And it's this: spiritual gifts come with the batteries included. Now let's take a look at one of the words Paul uses in verse 11. It's the word for activates. When Paul says that God activates these gifts that the Spirit gives, the word is energē. Energē. God, through the Holy Spirit, provides the energy that makes a spiritual gift work. The battery is included. But to really get a grasp on this word, we need to back up and look at verse 6, where Paul says that growing out of various spiritual gifts, there are a variety of activities. There are a variety of things that happen as a result of the use of spiritual gifts. They can make different things happen. Now, the word for activities there is energēmeton, right? Energy meton. Continuing in verse 6, but it's the same God who activates energon them in everyone. Now, catch this now. There are activities that result from the work of spiritual gifts. The word there is energēmeton, and it's the same God who activates them in everyone, energon and energē. Now, you see what root all these words have in common? E-N-E-R-G. All of these have the same root as the English word energy, because the Holy Spirit, who bestows a gift out of which grow activities, energēmeton, the way it works, also activates energēon, gives energy to the gift and the ministry and its results, makes it work. So the same God, the same Spirit who gives the gift, who is behind the ministry, also activates or energizes the results. So none of what happens as a result of the way a gift works is a result of our own effort. The Holy Spirit gives the gift, and the Holy Spirit energizes, activates the ministry and its results. What's Paul saying here? He's saying that the energy that it takes to make a gift work doesn't come from the one to whom the gift is given, but from the one who gives it, the Holy Spirit. And in the same way that a watch and a kitchen scale and a laptop computer and an electric car all do different things, different activities, it's the same thing, a battery, that provides the internal power, the energy that makes them work. And in the same way, all the different activities that result from different spiritual gifts are a result of the activation, the energizing of the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so before we say anything else about spiritual gifts, I want you to understand this point, that Paul is saying that spiritual gifts are not simply our talents or our skills. They are gifts from God, given by God. And they're not simply given, they're also empowered, energized, activated by the Holy Spirit. We're not given a spiritual gift like a present we might receive that doesn't have the batteries included. One that's so disappointing. Hey, thanks, this looks great, but it needs an energy source that I don't have right now, so I can't use it. I'll put it up here on the shelf. No, the Holy Spirit's gifts come with the batteries, with the energy, the activation included. All we need to do is acknowledge the gift and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. They are ready to use. Now you might say, well, that's nice to know, but I don't really have any spiritual gifts. I'm not even sure what spiritual gifts are. And we'll get to what spiritual gifts are in a moment and over the next couple of weeks. But before we get there, I want to point out one more thing that the Apostle Paul writes in this last verse of this passage, verse 11. He writes, all these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The Holy Spirit allots to each one just as the Spirit chooses. This doesn't mean the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to a few followers of Jesus, or to some followers of Jesus, or to almost all followers of Jesus. No, but to each one. That's each and every one. If you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will give you one spiritual gift or another, or several. But the Spirit allots to each. That means nobody's left out. This is such an important point that Paul says it twice. He repeats himself. He said it already in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. You know, I remember when I was a kid in grade school, there were always kids who were in what was called the gifted program. Kids who had scored particularly high on an IQ test, or who had in some other way demonstrated that they were above average in their abilities or their intelligence or talent. Sometimes they went to separate classes, or sometimes they were in the same class, and as the other kids, they just did different things, maybe more advanced things. But at any rate, they were not the majority of students. They were in fact just a small proportion of the student body, the gifted students. But this is not what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, and it's not what he's saying to us. Among followers of Jesus, there are only the gifted. There are no ungifted disciples. There are certainly different gifts, a variety of gifts, but you are not gifted as a disciple of Jesus based on how talented you are, or how clever you are, or how hard you work. Gifts aren't only given to those with the right last name, or the proper accent, or enough education, or the right color of skin, or based on any other qualification. The Holy Spirit allots to each. If you hear nothing else in this sermon, hear this. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift, probably more than one, and you are uniquely called to use it to minister in ways that no one else can. And if you are a follower of Jesus and you don't think you have any spiritual gifts, then let me suggest that you need to ask the Lord and your brothers and sisters around you to help you understand what your spiritual gift might be and what to do with it. You know, I remember about 10 years ago, Pastor Tasha and I gave my parents an iPad. And, you know, one of those tablet computers. An iPad. And they had no idea what to do with it. They really had no idea of the breadth of its capabilities. And they sure didn't know how to operate it, how to make it work. And do you know, they didn't just take it and put it on a shelf because they didn't understand what it was and what it was for, how it worked. they ask us to help. They ask us to help them understand and to help them understand what to do with it. And we wrote them a user's manual that explained in detail what they could do and how to do it, how to take a photo and how to search the internet, how to get on Facebook and how to FaceTime and how to watch TV and how to listen to music. And when they needed some direction, they'd ask us directly or they'd consult that user manual. And do you know, you can do that too. If you're trying to figure out what your gift is and how to use it, you can go to the giver directly and ask. Or on the other hand, you can consult the user's manual, not the Nazarene manual, but this one right here. You'll find all the direction you need right there. But in the next couple of weeks, before our second helping Bible study, we're going to look at some other resources as well that might help you understand your spiritual gifts. Now, the members of the church at Corinth were certainly trying to figure out what spiritual gifts were and how they worked and who had them, you know. So Paul writes to them and says in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now, Corinth was a big, busy, bustling Roman city with lots of cultural and religious influences. There were Jews there and temples to the Greek and Roman gods like Poseidon and Apollo and Aphrodite and Asclepius, the god of medicine. And in that environment, there were new Christians trying to figure out what a Christian church was, what Christianity was, really. There were no old approved guidelines, no historical examples to follow, no manual like we have in the Church of the Nazarene. And if the amount of space that Paul gives to the subject in his letter is any indication, the church at Corinth was very interested in what we call spiritual gifts, particularly the gift of tongues. Now, this could mean the gift of speaking in other languages, or it could mean what we call glossolalia, that ecstatic uttering of words and sounds that isn't really recognizable as a language. Paul seems to be referring to both of them in chapter 13 when he says, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal." But Paul wants the Corinthian church to know that tongues is not the only gift of the Spirit, nor is it the most important one. And so he says that he doesn't want the Corinthian church to be uninformed, to be ignorant about pneumaticon. That's the word that's translated spiritual gifts, and it really just means the spiritual, stuff associated with the Spirit. Pneuma, that breath, that wind, the Spirit that inspires us and that we inspire. So the Holy Spirit fills and moves inside and outside us like the wind, like the air that we breathe. And Paul says he wants to make sure that they're not uninformed. He spends all of chapter 12 discussing how spiritual gifts work and what they are. But Paul doesn't just jump right into a discussion of specific gifts in chapter 12. No, he begins by referring to a very specific situation. He writes in verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak." Now, Paul is referring here to the polytheism of the Greco-Roman world. At Corinth, there were temples to multiple gods, and people would visit them. They could frequent the temple prostitutes at the temple of Aphrodite, who was the protector of the city of Corinth and its maritime economy. And if they got a sexually transmitted disease from doing that, they could visit the temple of Asclepius, the god of medicine, and leave a sacrifice for healing. It wouldn't work, but they could try. Or if they wanted to know about their prognosis, they could visit the oracles, the temples of Apollo, where they could find out what the future held. And if all that seems primitive and foreign, I think that a pretty good case could be made that in our modern big, bustling cities like Glasgow, with lots of multicultural influences, there are still temples to the idols of this world. And people serve them just as religiously as the people of Corinth. Temples to the idols of materialism, of wellness, of commercialism, of sports, of celebrity, of money, of business, where people make sacrifices and try to find meaning in their lives, try to get something back. And in these verses, Paul contrasts the polytheism of Corinth, where there are a variety of gods and temples from whom one might request one gift or another, with the one God of Christianity, with whom there are many gifts, but one and the same God. Paul is saying that unlike the polytheism of Corinth, where you visit multiple temples, different temples for a different God, depending on what gift you were looking for, there are lots of very different gifts of the Spirit, but there's the same God. It's only the one God, the Spirit, who gives them all wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and discernment and tongues and interpretation. And the one God doesn't just give all these gifts, but the Holy Spirit also activates and energizes them. So we can say about the gifts of the Spirit that they all come with the batteries included. Now, for the next 2 weeks, and in our next Second Helping on the 30th of this month, we are going to be learning about, talking about, and thinking about not only the gifts of the Spirit, but about your spiritual gifts, those that the Holy Spirit has given to you specifically. And whether you've ever considered that before or not, I believe that you're going to find this time helpful and inspiring, and maybe a little bit challenging too, as we work through this short series. Now be sure and join us next time. God bless you, and we'll see you then.
Just as God's word was sent into the world to heal and redeem, so God sends you into the world this day to be light and love, healing and hope. Go now to be light for the world using all of the gifts God has given you. And may the grace and peace of God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer come upon you this day and remain with you always.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise Him, all creatures here.